You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, the proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in Berea today for Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. And again, we're going to hear from Mel Kiper right now. He had his conference call today, and we're also going to – I want to get your reaction to his comments because we're going to react to him. We want to hear from you and hear what you think the Browns' top three positional priorities, and if you have individuals, that's fine, that you want to see them go at in the draft and free agency. Let us know, 216-578-0850. This is a show for the Browns fan, about the Browns fan, so give us your opinions. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. So Mel Kiper did his conference call today. Todd McShay did his mock draft today. Let's first hear from Mel Kiper and talking about what he thinks the Browns have to do at quarterback.
You got to get a quarterback. You're in a division with Roethlisberger and Flacco and Dalton. So you got to close that gap somehow, some way. Hoyer wasn't going to get it done to that level. Manziel, you know, obviously had a horrible time out there when he was playing, but we'll see if they can develop him and if he can get his act together. But you got to draft a quarterback.
So he says you got to draft the quarterback. And he said Hoyer is not at that level, basically, in Mel Kiper's words, move on from Brian Hoyer and see what you have in Johnny Manziel. But you probably need to address this position via trade, via free agency, and, of course, via the draft. Because when you – and the reason I say all of those, because I share the sentiment that Mel Kiper does, there isn't a free agent quarterback out there that is necessarily going to help you if you are the Browns.
You got to do something. There's not any, they don't grow on trees as free agents, and there's names out there, but are those guys you're going to have confidence in can start and help you close that gap with those three teams?
And now we'll hear Mel Kiper talk about who he feels the Browns should take in the NFL draft.
Petty and Grayson would be the two quarterbacks in the second round that maybe have a chance to be worthy. When you look down the road at 5 years, they might have been worthy of being top 15, 20 picks. At least Petty and Grayson had that type of potential.
So it's interesting. Petty's got the body. He's got the arm. He's going to have a big adjustment, though, from the spread offense into the NFL game. He hasn't played under center at all. Grayson, same type of a thing at Colorado State. Didn't play under center a lot. I watched him a little bit. He's got some mechanical issues in my mind. I'm not sure that his arm is good enough to cash the checks he likes to write. I think, you know, some of the passes that get there at Colorado State that just get there are probably picked off and don't get there in the NFL. So he's a curious one to me. I think everything I hear is a great kid, hard worker. He helped his stock by getting hurt and not being at the combine while everybody else kind of floundered. The one guy that I always hear, Brett Hundley's got the talent, but again, he's similar spread guy, one read quarterback, likes to run. Now he would be the most similar to Johnny Manziel in terms of the type of offense you would run. And he's got, you know, he's bigger, he's stronger, but this is a guy who's been sacked over 100 times, holds the ball too long.
Yep.
There are issues with all these quarterbacks. That's why it's considered the weakest quarterback class. I don't know that the second round is where you're going to draft a guy that you are. None of these guys seem to be stepping out to me with the upside. Hundley's maybe the only one that has that kind of upside that reminds me of maybe Colin Kaepernick when he was picked in the second round.
And as you said all along, you know, you look at the National Football League quarterbacks that yet majority of them are hit in the first round. You know, there's very few stories about a successful guy as being 2 through 7, you know, that actually make it, or, you know, in a few, as your guy Tony Romo has made it as an undrafted free agent.
Now, when you're a quarterback, it helps to have playmakers, somebody to throw the football to. I think everybody's in agreement that the Browns need wide receiver help, and I think they need it in the draft and in free agency. Ted Ginn is a name that's out there. I don't think that he qualifies in terms of being wide receiver help, but certainly would help the punt game, return game, which we said was anemic.
Change-up guy.
It'll be interesting to see when you're talking about a team that is looking at things from a long-term perspective and building sustained successes. Ted Ginn at 29, you know, as a return specialist, somebody that you'd invest more than the league minimum in. I think if you get up to the league minimum, then sure.
Yeah.
But this is a guy coming in off of a 3-year deal, got cut after the first year of that deal where he made over $2.5 million last year in Arizona. He's not going to help you much as a receiver. He's a good return guy, but, I mean, can you find a return guy in the draft for cheaper? Do you cultivate somebody in-house, Taylor Gabriel, and say, okay, this year you're our return guy? Justin Gilbert, we're going to actually let you return kick something you were very, very proficient at in college. So I don't know that you spend money for a returner.
And take up a roster spot on a return guy.
Well, the truth of the matter is if you have Ted Ginn, you can't have Ted Ginn and Travis Benjamin.
Right.
So
they're the same guy.
They're the same guy. And Travis Benjamin struggled as a returner.
And will be cheaper.
A little bit better as a receiver this year. Probably would be cheaper. Marlon Moore, do you want to bring him back? He was so successful as a gunner last year and really embodies the play like a Brown mentality and spirit. So you wonder what's going on there. But the truth is, in terms of, I'm talking about wide receivers. I'm talking about playmakers on the outside, difference makers in your passing game. And Mel Kiper talked about the Browns' need. He thinks that is the number one need for this team. The Browns need to get a wide receiver. He thinks at number 12, Amari Cooper, a possible guy for the Browns if he slips past the Raiders.
If Cooper gets past the Raiders and, say, Kevin White from West Virginia goes there, I could see Cleveland at 12, you know, San Francisco at 15, Kansas City at 18, jumping up and getting Cooper. You can't just let him fall to 10 or even get to 9. I think he would be off the board by then via a trade.
I like that. And I think, you know, again, we're kind of doing it backwards, not having a quarterback, but, you know, building the weapons around whoever is the quarterback here. I think Amari Cooper is going to be very special in the National Football League. I think
is that your opinion, Matt?
It is my opinion. This is Matt Wilhelm's opinion on Amari Cooper. I believe that he's going to be, he may not be the game breaker that Julio Jones is, but I think he's going to be very, very close. And more so than anything, he will bring consistency to the one or two spot here in Cleveland, if it happens to get here at Cleveland.
Kurt Warner said he was smooth like Torrey Holt. My question is, if you are the Cleveland Browns, I think you traded up too much last year.
I agree.
If you're looking from a long-term perspective, trading up and using multiple assets, turning two draft picks into one, is typically not the best idea. And using the draft trade chart to go from 12, let's say, to 8 would be about 200 points in value. That's a middle of the third round pick. So the Browns would have to give up a first and a third just to move up and get a guy like Amari Cooper.
And I think they've got to love Amari Cooper. You know,
I don't know. I mean, to me, yeah, you've really got to love somebody. But you traded up last year to get Justin Gilbert. You traded up last year to get Terrence West, and you traded up last year to get Johnny Manziel. So that's six players that you turned into three, and you got production out of one of them in the first year.
Correct.
So I'm just for a team that, again, you know, there. I think that's something I'm sure that was talked about. I'm sure that's something they've thought about. I don't know that I see the Browns trading up for Amari Cooper or anybody in this draft unless it's a quarterback. That, to me, seems like the only position that if you're going to make a trade up, that's the one position you're going to do that. Now, Mel Kiper was saying if a wide receiver slips in near the Browns, you've got to go up and get that guy.
Remember when the 49ers got Jerry Rice? Jerry Rice at that particular point, you know, had slid down, and they got him at about 15, but they moved up to get him. So if you see a guy like Cooper slide or Parker slide, you got to go up and get him if you're Kansas City or if you're Cleveland or if you're San Francisco.
To me, the interesting thing about that is, if you recall, the 49ers were pretty darn good when they got Jerry Rice. That was
a team that
was already a Super Bowl team. That's the difference.
I feel that one of the three, Parker, Cooper, or White, will make it to 12. And it's just a matter of if Ray Farmer feels like 12 is the right spot to go get a wide receiver, and also, too, what happens between 12 and 19, and will one of them be available at 19?
One of those three will not be at 19. I would be absolutely shocked if one of those three.
Do you think last year's wide receiver draft has a lot to do with it because of the success and how deep this draft is too?
Well, I think that, and these three seem to be the consensus top three, and then there's a little bit of a gap.
And Beckham, probably.
I don't know that anybody here is going to be come up like an Odell Beckham, but I do think that these three are going to be in that top 12 area, and then you're going to get the next group that could have the Breshad Perriman, it could have Devin Smith, it could have Jalen Strong, Doriel Green Beckham, Devin Funchess. That's going to be that late first, early second round group of people. So if you don't necessarily love one of those guys at 12, then you have an opportunity to go ahead and, you know, maybe wait and get that receiver in the second round. Now, Mel Kiper was talking about the top three receivers in the draft and what the Browns should do at 19 if they take a receiver at 12.
Well, offensive line would be an area to look at there at 19. I think the receivers, Kevin White could go 4 to Oakland. I'm still going to keep Cooper slightly ahead of him on my board because Cooper, to me, you know, he ran 4.42. White ran 4.35. Both had really good 40s. White's bigger, but he's only 4 pounds heavier. He's inch and a half taller, only 4 pounds heavier. Cooper's got a bigger hand. Cooper did better in the short shuttle and the three cone. And Cooper had 3 years of productivity where White had one. And White this year did not do really well in a couple games. Was very quiet against Oklahoma State and TCU. Great in contested situations, high points the ball, doesn't get the separation on a consistent basis, you would think, considering the way he tested. But he's a talent. He had 109 catches. Only averaged 13.3 a catch. It wasn't all his fault. He still had 109 receptions. He had the big games were against Oklahoma and Alabama. And his late in the year production wasn't as good as it was early. But you look at a guy who could go four. Cooper, to me, has got to go somewhere in the top five, six, seven. Probably want to trade up. And Parker could be there. Parker's the one could still be there for Cleveland with that first pick they have at 12.
So Mel Kiper talking about, again, Parker, I think, is the only one you have a shot at 12. So you have to like Devontae Parker. So that changes your strategy, too. We don't know what the evaluation of Devontae Parker is in this building. If they like Devontae Parker, you're hoping he's there at 12. If you don't like Devontae Parker, it doesn't really matter at that point because you're not going to get Cooper or Kevin White.
You're right. And a few of the mock drafts that I've seen as of recent is that all three would be gone by 12. We go a different direction, either pass rusher, D-line, or O-line at 12. And have Jalen Strong at 19. So we still add value and a contributor at wide receiver in the draft.
And I think, too, with the way that there is the depth at O-line and D-line in this draft, if there isn't a guy that they're in love with at 12, I'd move back into the middle of the first round and just pick up another pick. Why not?
And like you said, that second tier of wide receivers, if you're not in love with anyone, you know, why take drop back from 19 to 25 or 26 and get one of them and add value there?
So that's what Mel Kiper had to think about the Browns draft. What do you think? I don't get the obsession with a right tackle. If you're doing it because you think you need to eventually replace a guy like, I'm not even sure there are certainly some right tackles in this draft, and we'll hear Todd McShay's mock draft later. Josh Norris's as well from Roto World. And there's a lot of talk about the Browns right tackle. Mitchell Schwartz, to me, is a solid starting right tackle in the NFL. I think that his demise is greatly exaggerated. Michael Bowie's come here from Seattle. You got to see what you have in him. That's like having a draft pick at that position
yes,
who's already started in the NFL. So you got to see how he comes back from shoulder. I don't think that is that much of an urgent need.
No.
Because a lot of the guys that they think are at the top of this draft in terms of tackles are people you're going to want to kick inside and play guard like Joel Bitonio last year. Do you want to do that again? Do you want to take another guy that early and to play guard? And maybe you do. Maybe you just say we want to be all about the offensive line. But I still think you need to address receiver. Now, you can do that in free agency as well as the draft, and then draft the guy, second, third, fourth round, as we saw some very productive receivers come out of those rounds in last year's draft. But to me, the need for a right tackle is overblown. This team needs help on the defensive line and rushing the passer.
They do, and again, that's where my heart sets and my opinion on what the Browns should do is go out and get contributors in the first round. We have neither contributing from last year's draft, and so this year we need to go out and get guys that don't need to earn their way onto the field or wait a year because a guy's, Mitchell Schwartz is doing well enough, but we have the next guy in line. I don't want the next guy in line. I want an immediate contributor, and I still hold true with the fact that a lot of spite that Cleveland Browns fans have about the organization, and whiffing in the first round is because they see everybody else going to get guys that are making Pro Bowl in their first year or they're, having these outstanding years, but it seems like we never get it right in the first round, and there's frustration associated with that.
And the Browns, this is a critical year to get it right in the first round. And if it were me and you didn't go wide receiver with one of the first two picks, I'd be more inclined to go D-line and a pass rusher.
Yes.
Focus on the D, just have that great dominant D. You can have other picks to get wide receiver. You can address that there. I think that, and we got the tweet coming in saying that Amari Cooper is way overrated. I wouldn't trade up for him at all. I think that Amari Cooper, though,
if he falls in your lap,
I think he's got better speed than people realize, better athleticism. He's very smooth.
Kurt very Warner, productive.
Again, said that he was like Torrey Holt, a very smooth route runner and able to get separation. When you look at this Browns team coming in this draft, I think, and one of the things we're asking you, what do you think the three biggest needs are? Not counting quarterback. We know that's the number one need, and it will be until you have that guy. Until you can get to the point where you go into an offseason without a quarterback competition or question mark, you don't have the guy.
I agree.
Once you can say we're going to training camp, here's our starter. In Green Bay, they're not worried about it. In Minnesota, they're not worried about who their quarterback is going into camp. It's Theodore Bridgewater. They know that. When the Browns get to that point, then quarterback comes off. But other than that, to me, it's D-line, especially the interior of D-line. I want a pass rusher, and that can come from the D-end, in my opinion, or it can come from an outside linebacker. Those are the critical things along with wide receiver. Those are the three critical places of focus. If you want to get depth along the offensive line, I'm totally fine with that. I have no problem with it. But that isn't the one thing. That's not at the top of my priority list.
Gotcha. And the reason why? When Alex Mack and that offensive line was playing so well, they were best in the NFL. And no one had a problem with Mitchell Schwartz, and we didn't need any depth anywhere.
That's exactly right. All right, when we come back, we want to get your reaction to Mel Kiper's thoughts. We'll get into Todd McShay's draft. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. What do you think the three biggest needs for the Browns are in terms of this draft? Where would you go with those top three picks? What do you expect to have happen there? Let us know, Browns fans. 216-578-0850. Zagura Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.